I'd like to read the book of Job. Job chapter 40. Job 40 and verse 1. Moreover, the Lord answered Job and said, Shall he that contendeth with the Almighty instruct him? He that reproveth God, let him answer it. Then Job answered the Lord and said, Behold, I am vile. What shall I answer thee? I will lay mine hand upon my mouth. Once have I spoken, but I will not answer. Yea, twice, but I will proceed no further. Now the book of Genesis chapter 22. Verse 1, And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham, and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. He said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering, upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes, and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father? He said, Here am I, my son. He said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told them of. And Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. He said, Here am I. He said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram, and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Now a final reading in the Gospel by John chapter 1. John chapter 1, verse 29. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And the Lord will bless what we have heard and trust help us to preach the gospel further from these scriptures that we have read. Our brother Joyce and I don't talk about what we are going to speak about in the meeting during the day, but something has been laid upon his heart. And as I have read these three scriptures, I thought of three good looks. People get God's salvation by a good look. Not because one is good looking, but because of a good look, there is salvation. In Job chapter 40, Job got a good look at himself. He said, "Behold, I am vile." He was in the presence of God. Now you and I look at others, and we figure we're as good as them or better. That's what Job did in the earlier chapters of the book of Job. God had smitten, or the devil had smitten Job, and his friends told him, "Because of your sin, all this has come upon you." But Job maintained his integrity. But when he came into the presence of God, he got a good look at himself. And he said, "Behold, I am vile." We read from Genesis chapter 22, a very well-known portion of God's Word. Very interesting. Here we find Abraham and Isaac. They left the two young men with the asses, and they're going to the place of worship. Isaac becomes alarmed. He sees the wood. He sees the knife. But he said to his father, "Behold the fire and the wood. Where's the lamb for a burnt offering?" Isaac got a good look at the fire. It gave him some concern. It bothered him. It stirred him. And I believe every soul that gets a look at the fire, that is the fire of hell. It sobers them. It makes a fellow flee. It makes a person seek refuge. And in the message of the gospel, there's only one refuge. That's not religion. That's not good works. That's Christ and the blood he shed upon the cross. We read from John chapter 1 and verse 29. Take a good look at the Lamb tonight. The Lamb of God. For there's where salvation is. People look in. They wait for a feeling. They try to feel something. They look around to see if there's something strange happens. That's not salvation. What is salvation? My friend, take a look at the Lamb. John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." There's where the sinner finds peace. The removal of the sin of the world. Where? The Lamb of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now we sing at times, God's word is like a hammer. It breaketh the rock in pieces. God's word is like an X-ray. It penetrates right in. You see, we look on the outward, and we have been reminded that God looks right into the heart. And he says, the heart is deceitful above all things. It's the most deceitful. It's desperately wicked. Do you believe that? We're not speaking about the people's hearts in Africa or in China or in Great Britain. Those who are in this meeting tonight, Job got a look at himself. He says, behold, I am vile. I'm sure we all agree tonight from Romans 3 and 23. We believe that all have sinned, worldwide, no exemptions. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But you know, it's a different thing whenever it comes home to one's own self. I have sinned. I'm rotten from the core in the sight of God. There's nothing that I can offer to God. All my righteousnesses are filthy rags in His sight. Now that doesn't set man on a pinnacle. Men try to make us believe a great big man and a very small God. But when we come to the book of God, we have a great God, almighty, and a puny, insignificant, sinful man. David said, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. We have people that live in our day, and they believe parts of the Bible, the part that suits them, and that which rubs them the wrong way, they don't believe it. Well, friend, either that book's all true, or there's none of it true. I believe it's true from Genesis to the end of Revelation. God breathed. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Job got a good look at himself. He says, behold, I am vile. Did you ever take a look at yourself in the sight of God and before God and measure yourself by the Word of God? This is God's standard. All have sinned, come short of the glory of God. A good look at himself. We read that Isaac, he got a good look at the fire. Behold the fire and the wood. There's the fire and there's the fuel. It alarmed him. It gave him concern. Pardon me for going back 43 years almost. One night I sat in a gospel meeting in the back seat. A man preached from Luke chapter 16. He preached about hell. I didn't like preaching about hell, but he preached it. And as I sat in that seat, I got a look into hell. I saw the fire where my soul was going to be forever if I continued as I was and died in my sins. Did you ever get a look at the fire? Did it ever concern you? Did it ever move you? 21 years of age I was, brought up in a Christian home. I trembled to think hell is so near. I'm only a step from it. How many slips would it take for a soul, even in this meeting tonight that's not saved, how many slips would it take to land you in hell? It would only take one. Isaac saw the fire. He became alarmed. The story has oftentimes been told of the show that was going on, and it came the clown's turn to perform his act. Just before he came out on the stage, There was a fire started in the back of the stage. The curtains were drawn. This clown bounced out onto the stage. He shouted, "Fire! Fire!" People cheered. A big joke. He went back in. He told the manager, he says, "They won't believe me." He says, "You go out there and you tell them that this place is on fire." He came out the second time. He said, "Ladies and gentlemen, this place is on fire." Oh, they cheered all the more. It was a bigger joke the second time. He bounced back to the manager. He says, "They won't believe me." He says, "You go out. Pull that curtain aside and let them see it." He went out. They were waiting on another joke. He pulled aside that curtain. Those people saw the flame. What did they do? They ran for the door. I think it was him. Were trampled to death trying to get out. What made the difference? Now look at that fire. I was working in Burnaby in 1963. Whenever John F. Kennedy was assassinated. But I remember after his funeral, his family lit a flame. And that flame is called the eternal flame. That is, it's not supposed to go out. But it's not the eternal flame. They have kept it burning since, and will keep it burning for years. But that flame will not burn forever. But friend, the flame in hell is the real eternal flame. Did you ever get a look at it? It'll never go out. When thousands of years and millions of years have rolled their course, the flame that the rich man was in and felt will never go out. Hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. The devil is the greatest liar there ever was. In the little town of Pugwash, there's a bench. It's called the Liar's Bench. I've seen many people sit on it, spinning their yarns. Who could tell the biggest lie? The biggest liar around is the devil himself. He blinds the minds of sinners. The devil wouldn't give you a look into hell. But friend, the Spirit of God through the Word draws aside that curtain. And in Luke chapter 16, he gives us a clear view of a man that died in his sins. A man who had privilege. He was a son of Abraham. Sometimes those brought up in a Christian home, they think that God is under an obligation to save them. God is not under any obligation to save you. He was under no obligation to save me. You think of the families of the Bible. You take a man, the high priest, by the name of Eli. Eli's got two sons in hell. Think of King David, who lamented over his favorite son. "Oh, my son Absalom. My son Absalom. Would God I had died for thee. Oh, Absalom, my son, many a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, they would willingly have exchanged places with their boy or their girl, but they couldn't do it." In Pugwash Junction one Sunday night, a man preached the gospel. Two young men in the back seat wept about their souls. After the meeting, one of those boys came up to his parents. He threw his arms around his father. He says, Dad, I got saved tonight. The other man wept, 16 years of age, but he didn't get saved. Short time later, he was with a friend, driving along in a car. Going around a corner, he didn't make it. He hit right headlong into a tree. The friend beside him walked out of that car without a scratch. Young MacDonald was in eternity. His father was informed, an accident. Your son Hugh, he's been involved in an accident at a certain corner. That father went to that corner. There was a car. There was a white sheet over a body. He went and he was going to take that white sheet away. The RCMP officer said, don't touch that sheet. Mr. MacDonald looked at him. He said, that's my shoe. That's the boy that sat and wept in a gospel meeting. That's the boy that sat beside another boy that got God's salvation. That's my shoe. He pulled that sheet aside. He took Hugh's head in his two hands. He said, Hugh, speak to me. But there was no answer. Hugh was in eternity. Julie said, oh, Hugh, would God I had died for you, Hugh. I would willingly exchange places with you, Hugh. But he couldn't. Hugh's privileges of getting salvation were past. Hugh's harvest was past. His summer was ended. And as far as we know, not she. Those who visited the home, the parents used to take him up to Hugh's room. There's wee Hughie's shoes. There's where he had his clothes hanging, still hanging. Ah, friend, there are those in this meeting who have a love for your soul. They long for your salvation. Take a look at the fire tonight. You're only as heartbeat as the single brittle thread of life between your soul and the eternal flame. John chapter 1. Behold the Lamb of God. Take a good look at the Lamb tonight, for there's where salvation is. Isaiah 53 and verse 6 we read, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. That's man's ruin. What's God's remedy? The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. What is God telling me? God tells me, Bingham, I took your sins and laid them on Christ. Now, would God tell a lie? Impossible. It's impossible for God to lie. And if God says he did that, that means he did it. Is that true? God says he took my sins and laid them on Christ. Now, if he did that, where's my sin? According to God, they're on Christ. But I wait for a feeling. Oh, I've still got them. I'm still a sinner. How can I get saved? Keep his word for it. There's where salvation is. The simplicity of so great salvation. The remover of sin is the Lamb of God. And the sacrifice he offered at Calvary when he shed his blood, that you might be saved. Trust Christ tonight. Depend upon Him. God doesn't tell lies. Christ His own self. He bare my sin in His own body in the tree. How do I know? There's only one way. By the Word of God. Give the Word of God, give God the credit that His Word's the truth. That's what salvation is. God says it, I believe it. And that settles it. May you take His word for it tonight. And know the joy. My sins are gone. My fears are over. Why? Because Christ died for them. God says it. I close in with His offer of mercy. I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I take His word for it that I'm saved. May you do the same tonight. Tomorrow night could be one night just truly. Shall we pray? Our God and Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we bow in Thy presence. We thank Thee for the Word of God. We pray that some soul tonight might look unto Him and be saved. We ask that Thou wilt visit again this salvation. We thank Thee for drawing near the first week. But, O God, again, we cry to Thee that Thou wilt save sinners in this meeting, this night, for Thine own glory. Bless the gospel in other places. Wherever Christ is preached, grant that many may be born again. Part us now with Thy blessing. Disturb souls, lest they perish. O God, we ask in the name and for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Remember the meetings announced in the Lord in the will of the Lord. Number 254. Thou art not very far from the kingdom of God. Thou hast heard the sweet call of the King. Thou hast met the glad messenger speeding abroad, his free-hearted welcome to bring. And the kingdom looks bright, but the world is so dear, with its labor and pleasure and sin. Yet it were sad to have seen it so near, and never to enter therein. Well, just think verse 3 of 254.